Today our lesson is entitled Trivial Pursuit. And the question at the top of my lesson material was, how can I be sure I'm investing my life and treasure in what's most important? And our background passages were chapter 13 through the 31st verse of chapter 16. And we're going to look at a few verses in 13, but most of it is in chapter 16. So as believers, we have been called to service and have been given gifts. Sometimes it takes a lifetime for somebody to figure out what that gift is that the Lord has given them. Sometimes people don't even look. Sometimes people think they got the gift and they might not have that gift. So, but we all are given gifts to serve once we become believers. Some among us have great talents and potential to impact the world for Jesus. Yet our talents, our calling, and our abilities are energized by our faithfulness. Does that make sense to you? So if your faithfulness is not on the level that it truly should be, and only you know that in the Lord, then your talents, your calling, and your abilities are not going to have much energy in them. There's not going to be a lot of desire there to do them, to use them, and to make that effort for Jesus. We should never squander what God has given us to bring glory to Him. He gave them to not to make us look good or be important. He gave them to us so that we could make Him look good to those that might not be looking in His direction. So today we're talking about Samson. And he was considered generally to be the last of the judges before they started putting kings in place. Look at, it's not in our material, but I want to just, this sets the tone for this, you know, our lesson. 13:1, Judges 13:1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. So that sets the tone. I hope everybody reads the background passages, because it really makes a difference. And it refreshes you. You know, I hadn't read any about Samson in a while, so it was refreshing to, you know, to look at it again and look at it in a different perspective than you typically do. You think back, you know, Samson's always one of the ones that the little kids learn about, you know, but they learn in a different way. But that sets the tone. They've done it again. Another generation has lost favor in God's sight because of the things that they're doing. And so he's handed them over to the Philistines, and they had them for 40 years. So it tells us everything to know. We need to know. That one verse tells us everything we need to know about why God calls Samson. Because he's not, you know, he is such a forgiving God that he's not going to let them. I mean, the first round of Israelites that did evil, you know, we've seen that similar verse through all the whole book of Judges. He could have just let them go and just turned his back and walked away, and that'd been the end of it as far as he was concerned. But he didn't. That's why he called Samson. So our first verses are called, the subject is empowered by the Lord. And we're going to look at chapter 13, verses 24 and 25. The preceding verses in 13 are about the angel of the Lord coming to his mama to be and telling her that she's going to have a son and that she has to... he's going to be a Nazarite, and she can't partake of any alcohol or grapes or raisins and, you know, all that. So So he's been, and then she asked, they asked, she went and told her husband, and they asked the angel of the Lord for a little more, okay, now tell us what, we want to do this, but give us some specifics. And he said, I've already told her what she needs to do. And so when her son was born, she named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he lived in Mahanadan, I think, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtal. You're right, Betty. There's lots of names in this one. So they were devout. His parents were devout. So when the angel told them they were going to have a son, they believed him. They didn't, you know, they didn't wonder. They didn't go and say, are you sure? Because she had been barren. She was probably older. And she hadn't been able to have kids. They didn't doubt that. They just wanted to make sure that they did everything they were supposed to do. They didn't go back doubting. They just wanted to ask more questions. They were excited, and they wanted to make sure they did it all right. They showed reverence and fear and then wisdom when they saw that the angel was actually God that had come to see them. So he had a very promising beginning in his life. No previous judge had been announced this particular way and designated as a deliverer before he was even born. No previous judge had devout parents like Samson did. So he came into a good family. They were prepared to do whatever the angel of the Lord had told them to do as far as he was concerned. So he had it. He had a great beginning. No previous judge was dedicated under such a rigorous vow to spend his entire life in consecration to God. Bound by the Nazarite vow, even before birth, his mother didn't drink fermented drink while she was pregnant. She didn't eat grapes. She didn't eat raisins. She didn't any of that. Although other judges won great victories, none of them had such physical strength as Samson did, personal physical strength as he did. On top of that, in chapter 15, Samson prayed to God and God answered his prayer. It's chapter 15 and it's verses 18 through 19. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. And so he's thirsty. And he says, Samson was now very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord, "You have accomplished this great victory by the strength of your servant. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of these pagans?" So God caused water to gush out of a hollow in the ground at Lehi. And Samson was revived as he drank. Then he named that place the spring of the one who cried out, and it is still in Lehi to this day. And then it says, Samuel judged Israel for 20 years during the period when the Philistines dominated the land. So just so, he's before he's ever born, he's dedicated, he's consecrated to live this life, this devoted life to God. And then in his life, another thing that happened to him that didn't happen to any of the others is that he specifically asked for God to do something, and God did it. Although Samson did have a few failures, he was unique among the judges for the great gifts that God had given him. God was with Samson as he grew up, and he blessed him. The blessing of God in relation to Samson implies that Samson did well in life. The Bible tells us he was healthy. He was in good circumstances as far as his family life, and he was under God's favor for his entire life. The divine blessing also meant Samson was marked for a special purpose. Now, God didn't go to all this trouble to have him be dedicated before he was ever born if he wasn't going to do something special for him, and he didn't have something special in mind. And so he wanted Samson to be ready and able to fulfill the calling that he had in his plan. So I want to ask you to ask yourself this question: are you always ready and able to fulfill a calling from God? Are you always ready? Because God wanted Samson. He prepared the way. There's a song, you know, about them preparing the way for the Lord when He comes. He prepared Samson's way. He did everything he could do to make it right for Samson. So are you always ready and willing, if God prepares something for you, to use one of your gifts or your gift that He's given you, and He prepares the way and He shows you just without a doubt, are you ready and willing and able to fulfill that calling? So just ask yourself that as we look at Samson. At some point in Samson's life, God began directing him toward this camp of Dan. With all the pre-work that had been done for Samson, you would think that Samson was only going to do just like, he was just going to kill it, you know? Everything was set out for him, just laid out, clear as a bell. He didn't have to wonder if he was doing the right thing or not. Instead, Samson was a little foolish. And he chose the way of foolishness and spiritual compromise. So let's look at what he did. The next section is called Enticed to Trifle with God's Gifts. And we're in Judges 16 now. We're going to look at two sets of verses, 4 and 5 are first. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "Entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." And then skip over to 15. "Then Delilah pouted, 'How can you tell me I love you?'" She's talking to Samson. "When you don't share your secrets with me. You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong." She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. "My hair has never been cut," he confessed, "for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else." So in the preceding verses, remember, he found the Philistine woman, and he wanted to get married, so he told his daddy, he says, "I want her, so go get her for me." That led me to believe a little bit. I had the idea that maybe Samson might be a little spoiled. You know, and I think his parents might have been a little well-to-do, and he had everything laid out for him, and they were doing it for one reason, and Samson kind of went the way of foolishness. So that didn't work out, so he goes and he meets Delilah. Now, what do we think Delilah is? Pretty much. That's a good answer. I believe that Delilah was more than likely a prostitute. So, Judges 14 and 15, those two chapters, tell us of the battles with the Philistines that were caused as a result of Samson fooling around with the Philistine woman that he wanted to marry from Timnah. Chapter 16 tells of the terrible end of Samson, an end redeemed in part by his final act of faith. And we're going to look at that. Samson's final chapter began with him spending the night with the prostitute Delilah. And they wanted a way to kill him. The Philistines wanted him gone. Kind of like, you know, they wanted Jesus gone. They tried to figure out his weakness as well. Their first attempt was stopped by Samson when he foiled their plan and left the city sooner than they planned. So they're going to wait till morning and they're going to go get him. And they're hiding outside the gate. So he gets up at midnight and he goes and tears the gates to the city down and carries them on his shoulder back to Hebron, I think is what they said. And so, I mean, this guy is strong. So they had to have help. So how do you get to a man like that? Through a woman. So So what can we learn from this part of Samson's story? Samson still indulged in his sexual desires. He had a little problem there. His humiliation of the Philistines when they tried to capture him made him think he could get away with anything. So he's not thinking about that he's doing things for the glory of God. He's thinking that he's looking pretty good, you know. Samson was a creature of his passions and infatuations. He was emotionally immature, and he was not able to give complete devotion. But he was obsessed with Delilah. Didn't Engelbert Humperdinck sing a song about Delilah? I wonder if it was this Delilah. Delilah was a prostitute, and she was in it strictly for the money. Strictly for the money. That's all she wanted. 1,100 pieces of, and I don't know how many of the leaders there were, but that's a lot. I'm sure that was a whole lot of money to them back then. She didn't hesitate. She didn't love Samson back. She was in it for what he could give her because of who he was. She didn't hesitate when they offered her the silver to betray Samson. So, good old Samson was a fool. He should have realized after two or three failed attempts, he'd tell her some story, and then she'd go, "Oh my gosh, here they are." You know, she was hiding them. And he didn't get it. That he just was so full of himself, he didn't think about that she was going to use the truth against him. He didn't like nagging women. In the verses prior about his Philistine woman, she nagged him. And then he left, and so now Delilah's nagging him. He didn't like nagging women.
I bet he was a spoiled home in the chapel.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And because of the dedication and the whole thing, they treated him with kid gloves and let him do whatever because he was consecrated for God. So not cutting his hair was the only Nazarite vow that he kept. Remember, the angel of the Lord told him, when he was going to have, told the mama, said, you know, don't ever cut his hair. That's part of the thing. So by continuing to give himself over to Delilah, he even gave up that vow when he told her the truth about what would make him lose his strength. So let's look at our next verses. Blinded by spiritual insensitivity. And that's in 16, and it's verses 19 and 20. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." When he woke up, he thought, "I will do as before and shake myself free." But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. He didn't realize that. The 7 braids probably included his beard as well as the hair on his head.
Yeah, he must have been in a deep sleep.
And let somebody. I know. I thought about that when I was reading this. Delilah did the dirty deed and then cried out that the Philistines were there to take him once again. That was like the 4th time. He wakes up and he hears her, and he just says, "Oh, I'll just shake free. I'll show them. I'm Samson." But God had left him. So, you know, how many times in our lives, or how many times in somebody's life that you know they feel like God has abandoned them because of some terrible thing that's going on in their lives, and they don't realize that God is with them, and he'll help them through whatever they're going through. But Samson, just like Miss Ann said, spoiled rotten. I think that was Samson. Samson was blind to think he could trust Delilah and that she loved him back. He was blind to think he could escape his foolishness. He was blind that his hair was gone. He didn't even realize it. And he was blind that the Lord had left him. God's Spirit had been with him to allow from before birth. God's Spirit had been with him. God, if it hadn't been for God, he wouldn't have ever been born. He allowed the mother to become pregnant. She was barren. God's Spirit had been with him to allow him and enable him to accomplish all that he had done. When the Spirit left Samson, the warrior lost his real source of strength. It wasn't in anything that Samson could do, but Samson kind of forgot that. He started thinking it was Samson and not God. And that's where he messed up. Only in Samson's physical weakness did Samson realize that the Lord, when he realized that he couldn't stop them and they shackled him up, that's when he realized the truth. His heart and soul were so far from God that except for his loss of strength, he would have never noticed God's absence. Did you hear that? He was so far removed from God that if he hadn't lost his strength, he wouldn't even realized. He would have never realized. Because he was full of himself enough to think that the Lord, that Samson was the reason for his strength and not the Lord. So that gives us something to think about. Have we ever been so far from God that we didn't even notice he was absent from our lives? So let's look at our last verses. Victorious through faith. They are 28 through 30. So they've captured him. Then what did they do? First thing they did when they captured him?
Gouged out his eyes.
Because I guess they figured just in case, if he was blind, he couldn't see where to grab him. They could run from him. I guess that's why they did that. I don't know. And then the preceding verses, they decided that. So they got him in the grinding the. In the meal, and they usually used oxen, but they used him. And I've got this real old Bible, and I was looking at it yesterday, and I had some pictures, some of those like you used to see when you're in the back of it. And there was one in there of Samson, and it shows him on the meal thing, you know, going around, and people were there, and they were mocking him. And there was one guy, and he was getting ready to hit him as he went by. There were children in the drawing, you know, people just looking at him, watching him suffer, mocking him and stuff. So that's where he was. And then they had a big party, and they decided they was going to bring him out in front of everybody and mock him some more, make fun of him, and boast that look what we did to the strong man. And so that's where we're up to those verses. And he was brought out by one of the servants, and he told the servant, he said, put my hands on each of the pillars so I can rest. And so the guy did it. And so here we are. He says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. Then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple. Pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, let me die with the Philistines. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. So he had been marked by God from birth to be the deliverer of Israel. He took a few detours. His life should have brought, his complete and total life should have brought glory to God. When we fall into sin, we bring reproach on the name of God. When we fall into sin, no matter what it is, we don't bring glory to God when we do that. We only bring glory to the enemies of the faith. Who's the enemy of the faith? The devil. And he's laughing and having a good old time. The Philistines forced Samson to grind grain, using him like an ox. During the festival, they wanted him brought out to be put on display, and he seized the opportunity. Now, my lesson commentary I disagreed with for this last part, and I explain why. My commentary stated that Samson showed no repentance, that he only wanted vengeance and no glory to God. And I completely and totally disagree with that. And I know these people that write these lessons are way more educated than me. But I think what was his repenting was, you know, when you repent, you turn away from everything you've done. And I think when he called on God to come back to him, he was turning away from everything. He, at that moment, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, he realized the error of his ways. And he knew in order to do what he had in his head and to actually be the deliverer of Israel, he couldn't do it alone. And to me, that was his repentance.
He had to put his faith in God.
That's right. I think glory to God was given because by Samson praying to God, he knew where his strength came from at last. And he knew that only God could make it happen. His vengeance was, to me, was the only way that he knew to make things right with God, by killing all those Philistines, because he was supposed to be the deliverer of Israel. Christianity cannot endorse how Samson died, but we cannot deny that Samson's prayers were answered, because it says, you know, and my commentary mentioned something about suicide, but I just don't agree with that either. I think that when he said, "Let me die with the Philistines," he was just saying, "Lord, I just want to do this one last thing for you. You know, just if you got, take me out with them, if it'll make it all right." I just think that he, at the end of his young life, because I don't think he was very old, I think that he finally did the right thing. God was dishonored by how Samson chose to live his life. But God did honor the calling that he had given Samson. He did come back. You know, he didn't just abandon. He abandoned him, but when Samson called on him, he was right there. He was waiting. Samson failed to fulfill his calling to God, but in the end, he turned to God, and he had faith in him, just like you said. Samson is not a model that we should follow. We should not follow his way of life. This lesson is about God always being faithful to the calling and gifts he gives us to serve. He responds faithfully to our faith, however weak and confused we may be at times. So just remember that. What I said at the very beginning of the lesson. Go back. Our talents, calling, and abilities are energized only by the strength of our faithfulness. So we must remember that. And our lesson thing, what now, my mission, I think y'all have this in yours too, says, realize that the Lord empowers each of his children with specific gifts to accomplish his purpose. You have a gift. Do you know what it is? Do you use it? Understand that the Lord expects his people to use responsibly the abilities and spiritual gifts he's given them. Be responsible with it. That's like, you know, Samson was not responsible with the gift he was given. In the end, he was. Avoid becoming so spiritually insensitive the Lord can no longer work through you. That means don't get so far removed from him that He just can't use you. He's got to just go to somebody else, and he will. If he keeps calling and calling and calling and calling, and you're not, your faithfulness is not at the strength it needs to be, he will go to somebody who is. Recognize that the Lord works through imperfect people who place their faith in him. We do not have to be perfect. He makes us however he needs us in order to use us for his glory. Does anybody have anything they want to add?